Good morning. My name is Arnica, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I'd like to welcome everyone to the Rural Development Workshop Instructional Personnel and School Administrator Evaluation Systems conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you'd like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you, Ms. McDaniels. You may begin your conference.
Thank you very much, Arnica, and welcome to the Rural Development Public Workshop for 6A 5.030, Instructional Personnel and School Administrator Evaluation Systems. My name is Eileen McDaniel. I'm the Bureau Chief for Educator Recruitment, Development, and Retention with the Florida Department of Education. I have with me today Dr. John Moore, who is a Senior Educational Program Director, also with the department. I'd like to welcome you to this Rural Development Workshop to talk about Rule 6A 5.030. This is the third in a series of workshops being held specifically to receive public input on draft proposed text to revise this rule. Our agenda for this workshop is as follows. First, I'll provide instructions for providing public input for the proposed rule. Second, I'll provide an overview of the purpose and content of the proposed rule. Third, we will then have public input, which will then include your, and then we will answer any clarifying questions regarding proposed rule text. We will answer clarifying questions on the proposed text only. We will not comment or allow our attendees to debate the public comment. This is to ensure that all are allowed an opportunity to express their comments about the rule. Finally, we'll adjourn. Please note this workshop will last for a minimum of 30 minutes, but will conclude at that time if no additional callers are on the line. So we'll begin. We'll begin with the instructions so that callers will know if they wish to provide public input what they'll need to do. Everyone attending this workshop has provided his or her name to the operator as they signed into this call. If you would like to speak at the appropriate time, the operator will provide instructions on how to do so at that time. For those of you who are listening and would prefer to submit written comments, you may submit your comments on the Department of Education's website by going to, and here's the specific address, www.fldoe.org/proFDEV/PA.ASP. Again, www.fldoe.org/profdev/PA.ASP. On this page, you can view the draft text for the rule, and there's a place to submit via email your written comments. We encourage everyone to submit comments and to share this information with others who can return to the website throughout today to comment on this draft. After today, Wednesday, a new draft will be prepared and published for comment based on what we learned through the three workshops, including this one, that have been conducted and via written comments received through the website. The email address to submit written comments, which is located on the webpage I provide to you, is evaluationrule@fldoe.org, evaluationrule@fldoe.org. After the overview of the rule purpose and content, the operator will provide instructions on how you can provide comments. Each speaker will have 3 minutes to provide comments. Please remember that if you have additional comments beyond the 3 minutes allotted, we encourage you to provide those in writing for the record so that we can take all of your input into consideration. Are there any questions about the instructions for public input If you have any direct questions, you can press star 1 right now.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, press star, then number 1 on your telephone keypad. Your first question comes from Richard Smith.
Yeah, I'm trying to get onto this web page and not successfully. Could you repeat what the...
I'll give you a little bit easier instructions because it's still located on our homepage. If you'll go to www.fldoe.org, it's the main homepage for Florida Department of Education.
Okay.
Then you'll go to, in the middle of the page, it says In the Know, and right below that, and there is a Rule Development Public Workshop for this workshop, and it says Conference Call. If you'll select that, then it'll take you directly to that page that I had cited.
Thank you. It worked.
Good.
Again, to ask a question, press star, then number 1 on your telephone keypad. At this time, there are no further questions.
Okay. So thank you. So I will continue with our agenda. So overview of the purpose and content of this proposed rule. In March of 2010, Senate Bill 736, the Student Success Act, became law. That legislation required the State Board of Education to develop rules on a number of topics. These include procedures for submission, review, approval, and monitoring of district evaluation systems for instructional personnel and school administrators. Second, methods of calculating student learning growth, including statewide standards for each of the 4 performance levels required in evaluation systems, highly effective, effective, needs improvement, and unsatisfactory, and associated procedures. Third, a means for each teacher to verify his or her class roster to ensure accurate data collections for student learning growth. And fourth, revisions to the procedures for calculating statewide critical shortage areas. This rule workshop today relates to the rule that satisfies the first purpose I mentioned. Procedures for submission, review, approval, and monitoring of district evaluation systems for instructional personnel and school administrators. Separate notices and workshops will be held for rules on the remaining topics throughout the winter and spring. And comments at today's workshop should be made only pertaining to this rule. If you have a copy of the draft rule with you, I'm going to walk you through an overview of the content. If you would like a copy of the rule, you will go to the website I cited where they are located. If you have the documents in front of you, you'll notice there appear to be 2 documents, one titled 6A 5.030 and one titled Review and Approval Checklist. Both of these together would constitute the rule. So please be sure that you review both documents and provide input on both. We're going to first turn to the document titled 6A 5.030. You're going to notice that there are 7 paragraphs noted by numbers in parentheses. For example, paragraph 1 is titled Submission Process. This paragraph deals with how districts will submit documentation of their evaluation systems to the department. Paragraph 2, further down the page, is titled Content of Approved Evaluation Systems. This paragraph indicates that one should refer to the review and approval checklist for detailed information about evaluation system content. That's why the review and approval checklist will also be part of this rule. I'll come back to the checklist in just a moment. Going further down page 1, of the 6A 5.030 is paragraph 3 titled Initial Review Process, which provides detail on how the department will review evaluation system documents that are received from a district and how the department will communicate with a district about what has been received. At the bottom of page 1 is paragraph 4 titled Approval Process, which provides information about evaluation system approval status ratings that will be established and procedures for bringing an evaluation system that is conditionally approved or denied into full approval. Moving on to page 2, you'll see paragraph 5, titled Modifications to an Approved Evaluation System, which outlines conditions and procedures through which a district can modify a previously approved evaluation system. Moving down page 2 is paragraph 6, Implementation Monitoring, which details how each district must monitor its own evaluation systems and separately how the department will complete its required monitoring of district evaluation systems. On page 3 is the final paragraph, paragraph 7, titled Reporting. This paragraph references the content from this rule that will be included in the reporting by districts to the department and references the elements that will be reported through the regular staff data collection each year. Let's turn now to the review and approval checklist. I'll walk through the content of those portion of the draft rule, and then we'll take public comment on this draft text. The review and approval checklist is designed to be the document each district would submit with its evaluation system documentation and would serve two purposes. First, to show in one location all content required in law and rule that must be submitted, including the evidence expected. And two, to serve as a guide for both the district and the reviewer of where each required element is located in the document, to support each district and the department in the review process. The checklist is in two parts, a definition section that should help in use of terms used for purposes of this rule, and the actual checklist that provides the required elements for approval. This ends the overview of the purpose and content of the rule. We'll now begin the public comment portion of our agenda. The operator will provide instructions for our callers who wish to provide public comment to this rule at this time. Again, your comments are limited to 3 minutes. We will warn you when you have 30 seconds remaining. This will allow an opportunity for all who wish to speak to provide a comment. If your comments include clarifying questions on the content of this rule, I'll address those at the end of your public comment portions. Operator, we're now ready for the public comment portion of our call today.
At this time, I'd like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Again, to ask a question, press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from Cynthia Foster.
Good morning. Ms. Foster, do you have a comment or a question?
Ms. Foster, your line
is open. I'm sorry. I muted myself. I just want to clarify, as the districts are submitting this to the department, is there a requirement for specifications for those schools that are, for example, alternative schools that are not necessarily measured by standard testing? Is there a requirement to be specific about that? Because I'm a little bit concerned about those teachers that are in those sorts of unusual scenarios.
Good morning. This is John Moore.
Good morning.
Your question is focused on modifying a district's evaluation system based on the nature of the school. Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. That is within the purview of the district. Generally, the evaluation systems that have been submitted and that we anticipate receiving are system-wide in nature and focus on issues that apply across the grades, across the courses, and across the nature of the school. But if a district wants to have special procedures that impact either a particular subject area or a particular type of school, the district has the prerogative to do so, and they would describe their intentions in their documentation if they do that.
Okay, so the state is not, or the department is not expecting that that's a requirement?
No, that is a district decision as to whether the evaluation issues that they're going to address that mm-hmm. are complying with the various rules and statutory requirements, if they think that there are adaptations to those for a particular type of school, then they may do that in their system, but it is not a state requirement. They may have general provisions that would apply to all, or they may have specialty provisions that would apply to some. And if they choose that route, they would explain and describe that in their documentation.
Okay.
The law does.
May I ask them?
The law does state that they must describe what those special procedures are for special circumstances within their district evaluation system, but it does not specify mm-hmm. anything beyond that.
May I ask one more question?
Sure.
With regard to those schools that are alternatively rated by the department, is there any anticipation of a conflict between the way the school personnel are being rated as opposed to the alternative rating? Do we foresee any conflict there?
These are very good questions, but they go beyond the scope of this
okay.
rule.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Your next question comes from Marion Lyons.
Yes, I got a couple of questions here. On paragraph 6, A, concerning the district monitoring elements, subparagraph 1 on the effectiveness of indicators and associated professional development, the wording of that is very confusing, and I think I know where you're going with that, but I'd recommend that be clarified a little bit.
Marilyn, would you please identify that specific place again for us?
Okay. We're on page 2, paragraph 6, A, and then 1.
Okay.
And it starts with effectiveness of indicators associated professional development and informing instructional personnel, et cetera, et cetera. And the element itself is a little hard for me to grasp. Is exactly what it is we're doing here. I'm not real sure how we would measure that. So I think that the wording of that particular paragraph needs to be clarified somehow. What I think I understand about that is that you want to know to what extent people understand the indicators and what the proficiency expectations are, but again I'm not real sure I know how we would measure that. So that's just a comment. I think that needs to be revised in some way so it's more clear. And then I've got another question. It has to do with developing our monitoring procedures. I see that the state is going to have monitoring procedures and we have ours. Are we going to receive the state monitoring guidelines, what you all are going to be looking for, so we can tailor ours so that it aligns with what you're going to be using?
Okay, I'm going to have John respond to your first comment about 6.1a, if you don't mind, and then we'll address the second thing about the monitoring.
Okay.
Good morning. Go back to the purpose of the statute that the rule is based on. We're looking to improve student achievement through improving the proficiency of faculty and administrative services. With that kind of structure, there are two connected elements. One are the indicators in evaluation, which establish the issues on which we're going to be trying to improve people's proficiency. And the second element are the professional development capacities the system provides that support people improving their proficiency at those issues addressed in evaluation. So that linkage between the indicators, the things that we said are important enough, given the purpose of the statute, to address in evaluation, and the PD capacities that support getting better on it, there are impact questions that districts should be paying attention to on both. The indicators and the conversations that principals and teachers have regarding proficiency of practice around those indicators is supposed to have an impact on proficiency, and the question is, does it or does it not? Then the professional development events that happen either within a school district, to support those proficiencies, are they having an impact, a positive impact, or not? What the rule speaks to is monitoring those two issues. Is our work on district evaluation indicators making things better? Are people getting more proficient? Are students having better achievement? And as our professional development capacities, are they supporting people getting better at those things? Those are not issues that historically the districts or the state have developed monitoring capabilities on. The rule establishes that we will now start doing that. Both at the district and state level, we need to start paying attention to the impact of these substantial new tools, evaluation indicators, and the professional development linked to it. Both on the district level and on the state level, we will all have to go through this collaborative process of working out what are the research-based methods that tell us what works, what should work, what can we make out of the impact of these things. So what the rule does, it establishes that both the districts and the state are going to start to monitor the impact of these new processes. And then for both state and district, there is additional thinking and collaboration that will flow as to how we do that. There will be state assistance and technical assistance down the road on professional development capacities and how to measure the impact of them. Your local district work on your local instructional improvement system, your LIIS software processes are intended to start to link your evaluation indicators and your professional development issues so that the impact of professional development can be assessed by the data you gather on evaluation of those same proficiencies.
Dr. Lyons, we will also certainly take your comments very seriously and take a look at 6A1 and look at the language there to make sure it's clear. Your second question is referencing the monitoring by the department and the district. Within the district and part of your evaluation system, districts were to cite how they will monitor their system. The department will come out with, will also provide guidelines to districts or inform districts how they will monitor all districts as well.
Okay, thank you. That will help.
At this time, there are no further questions. At this time, excuse me, you do have a question from Jason Weisong.
Yes, this is Sumrall County Public Schools. We have a question on page 5 of the checklist, letter G. Performance of students' assessments, calculation methods, and cut scores for teachers newly hired by the district for the use in the first evaluation. We're really having a challenge on figuring where we don't have any assessments at that point. If we develop some assessments, are we left to do our own calculation methods or our own cut scores, and then they'll ultimately not relate to anything that happens in the final evaluation? Could you give us some guidance on that?
The checklist at this point is certainly identifying what you need to have within your evaluation system and in your documentation, and that is something that districts have been addressing as they submitted their initial evaluation systems on June 1st and then resubmitted on September 30th. And so forth. This is something that will be ongoing for the districts. As you well know, this is the assessments will come with time, and by 2014-15, they will be all in place. And so this will, as you address this particular section in your evaluation system each year and update it, you will address this section perhaps over and over again as new assessments are identified for your particular classes of teachers and non-classroom teachers.
Okay, thank you.
At this time, there are no further questions. At this time, there are no further questions. You may continue with your presentation or closing remarks.
As stated in my presentation, we will continue with this conference call for an additional 15 minutes, and if there are no public comment being offered during that time, we will conclude the call in 15 minutes.
You have a question from Miriam Lyons.
Hi, we're just poring over this right now. When will this rule take effect?
The rule will go before, at this point, we anticipate the rule to go before the February 28th state board for approval, and then it would take effect within in 34 days. That would be the minimum amount of time. So it would be for evaluation systems that would be implemented for the 2012-2013.
Okay, so then the reports that are due or the monitoring that's due of the systems themselves, are those due? When is the monitoring due?
The monitoring that is described in both rule and in the checklist is something that you include that within your district evaluation system, how you are intending to monitor. The department will provide information to the districts as soon as possible what that monitoring would be at the state level.
Okay.
Again, it's ongoing, so it's not specific dates. Besides the date that's in statute, that by December 1st of 2012, the commissioner will need to report the status of the evaluation system.
Okay. All right. So the checklist and our evaluation system, we have an approved evaluation system, and it's being implemented right now. Are we to submit the evaluation system again in June 30th?
May 1st of 2012, we anticipate that all districts will be resubmitting because you will be updating your evaluation systems for the 2012-2013.
Okay.
Remembering that these items are in this checklist and in the rule were part of the original checklist that was provided to you. We are now putting them into rule for the future.
Okay. Understood. Okay. Can we ask you another question?
You can ask all the questions you wish.
Thank you. This is Debbie Lucas is on the line with me.
Good morning. So we are developing our school administrator evaluation system this spring. We're anticipating going to the meeting January 30th and 31st in Orlando. And apparently that document is to be submitted by June 30th.
No, that document will be due May 1st as well.
Okay. Thank you.
And you will have much more guidance on January 30th and 31st with additional opportunities to work with our contractor and the department for developing that evaluation system prior to May 1st throughout March and April, February, March in particular.
Will that assistance be similar to what we had with the teacher evaluation?
That's what we anticipate. It'll be more, but they're probably more more regional and not exactly the same as the way the teacher evaluation system. That will come with what are your needs and how can we meet them.
And will this be the same system where we submit our redevelopment of our level 2 certification programs for school leadership?
No, this is only for the evaluation system of your school administrators, not the training programs.
Thank you.
Again, to ask a question, press star, then number 1 on your telephone keypad. At this time, there are no further questions.
We'll allow for 2 more minutes, operator, and if there are no other comments at that point, I will then conclude the call. So if anyone is on the line has any further comments or questions, here's your opportunity. Thank you for attending today's workshop via our conference call. We will now adjourn today's meeting. please feel free to visit the department's website at www.fldoe.org. On that main page, currently there is a link to the page that has the rule and where you can post comments. You can actually go to the page directly as well, www.fldoe.org/proFDEV/PA.ASP. We look forward to continuing comments about the rule text. And again, thank you for joining us today on the Rule Development Workshop. We hope everyone has a good day and great holidays. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.